I think it's really critical from what I'm hearing for all of us to back up and realize one thing. We work for our constituents. They're our boss. The governor is not our boss. The people who elected us here. And as far as rules, I love that argument too. We change the rules all the time to fit the situation.
Right on, right on. That was Senator Troy McEwen from Campbell County on the floor of the Wyoming Senate. And he's right. All those people down in Cheyenne work for us. And it's about time we explain that to all of them. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another installment of Weekend Update. I'm your host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. This morning, I'm going to get you caught up on some of the big things that happened down in our capital city. And then I've got a couple of guests. The first one is Biffy Jackson, the new chairwoman of the Uinta County Republican Party. And we're going to get an update on the lawsuit against Governor Mark Gordon. But first, some obscene self-promotion. Today's program is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for a new building, be it a small shed or a garage or a big shop or even a roping arena, you should contact Morton Buildings. Talk to Jesse at 674-2532. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Pandora, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Joe Biden or Crickets Cheney and you've been asleep at the wheel, well then you can pull up an article and get yourself a little educated like you should have been doing the whole time. When everything came out in the wash, conservatives really didn't fare so bad in the Wyoming State Legislature this session. No, we didn't get everything that we wanted, unfortunately. However, there were some high points. So, for example, we're actually going to have a budget cut this year of $430 million. That's the first time since 2002 we've decreased the size of the Wyoming government. Remember, the bigger the government, the more intrusive they are in your personal life. And for a while, the state of Wyoming was sticking their nose way too far into where it didn't belong. So decreasing its size is a good thing. One high point is Senate File 34. That's the Born Alive bill, and it passed the Wyoming legislature and is on its way to the governor's desk. Now, he did veto that last session, so we don't exactly know what's going to happen with that bill, but at least we got it out of the legislature. Now, some of the low points. Congratulations! You're still funding abortions at the University of Wyoming. I know! What a fantastic use of your tax dollars. Senate File 133 also failed. That was the one prohibiting chemical abortions in the state of Wyoming. Now, if you didn't know, most abortions are conducted with drugs and with chemicals. A particularly nasty way to die, if you ask me. But not if you talk to abortion proponents. No. They'll tell you that that's humane. Well, now hold on a minute. Why would we be worried if something is humane if it wasn't actually a real person? Oh, well, pay no attention to that. Here's the interesting part about this bill. House leadership didn't even assign it to a committee. Speaker of the House, Eric Barlow, left it in his drawer. Now, there was an attempt to bring it to the floor, which that's a procedural move to kind of go around House leadership if you have to. If there's a bill that they don't want to talk about and they don't want to debate, well, then you can have a vote on the floor of the House and bring up the discussion. And that's what the conservatives in the House tried to do. In fact, they had 23 House members that voted to bring it up for debate on the floor of the House. 23. That's a pretty good number. However, 37 members of the House of Representatives voted to not bring it up for discussion. But in a move of total transparency and absolute commitment to accountability to the people that put them in office, that vote was not recorded. I know, great, right? So anyway, we had 23 conservatives, That's the Freedom Caucus, and everybody else voted against bringing that thing up for debate. Now, of course, we don't know for sure who voted against it. Here's a little bit of conjecture for you. I bet if you look at the vote that was taken on Medicaid expansion, you know, the very large and very, very liberal bill that was killed in the Senate, yeah, I bet those numbers kind of match up a little bit. Now, I'm sure if you ask any of the legislators that voted against bringing this bill up, they'll give you something like, well, it was a procedural vote that I didn't agree with. You know, I'm not in favor of abortions. I'm just not in favor of talking about them. Yeah, so anyway, when you get a chance to talk to your legislator, that's the question you should ask them. Why didn't you even want to talk about it? Anyway, moving on. House Bill 162, that's the Medicaid expansion bill, yep, it got sent to File 13, thankfully, even though, as I mentioned, there were 32 people in the House of Representatives that voted for it, including my own representative, Barry Crago. Yeah, that's going to continue to be a pesky little conversation for him, because it's going to continue to be brought up in Johnson County. And of course, as we've already mentioned on the program, Senate File 81, the Second Amendment Preservation Act, failed. That is a disgrace in the state of Wyoming. But I'm sure we haven't heard the last of that piece of legislation, as it will most definitely be brought up next session. Finally, and this is a big one, there are no new taxes in the state of Wyoming this year. Well, that's if you talk to all those legislators. There's nothing that's actually labeled a tax. What they did do, though, is raise fees on a whole bunch of different stuff. The truth is, we don't really know what all fees they increased, because there was so many of them. This is one of those we have to pass the bill to find out what's in it type of deals. Anytime you take more money from hardworking Wyoming citizens, that is called a tax. It doesn't really matter what you label it. Now, I'm sure all of these fees are really small and they're not going to hurt your pocketbook that much. Wait, oh, now I sound like one of those legislators. Yeah, forget that last part. From the Cap City News, news really ought to be in a quotation mark with this rag. Anyway, it was published on April 1st, April Fool's Day. The article's entitled, Wyoming Senate Reject Taxes to Help Fix Ballooning K-12 Education Budget. The article really isn't that much more reliable than their really bad grammar. But what they're referring to is there was a proposal to institute a halfpenny tax in the education bill that would go straight to fund education. I have an idea. Why don't we just stop paying school superintendents double what the governor makes? That might help the ballooning K-12 education deficit. Enough of this rag. Again, on April 1st, the Oil City News published an article entitled Representative Gray Celebrates Passage of Voter ID Bill After Wyoming House Agrees to Senate Changes. Quote, a bill that would require voters to show photo identification at the polls is headed to Governor Mark Gordon's desk after the House of Representatives agreed Thursday to changes the Senate made to the bill. After the Senate passed House Bill 75 on third reading, a vote of 28-2 on Thursday, the legislation returned to the House for a concurrence vote because the Senate adopted an amendment adding Medicaid cards as an acceptable form of voter ID. The House's concurrence vote on the bill as amended by the Senate was 51-8. This is a big win for the state of Wyoming. Voter ID is extraordinarily important, not just in Wyoming, but across the country. That pretty much gets you caught up on the high points of the Wyoming legislative session. Now on to our top story of weekend update. The Uinta County Republican Party held their elections last weekend. That in and of itself is not controversial. Well, that was until... Yep, you guessed it. It wasn't controversial until Frontier Republican types got involved. Basically what happened is there was a close vote for the Uinta Republican Party chairman. The contest was between Biffy Jackson, who was elected chairwoman of the Uinta County Republican Party, we'll talk to her in just a second, and this guy named John Conrad, and I think the vote difference was 2 votes. Well, instead of accepting the election outcome, Mr. Conrad went running to the conservative bastion of Wyofile to complain about the election. He didn't stop there. He also filed a complaint with the Secretary of State and the Wyoming Attorney General. I did reach out to Mr. Conrad on Thursday. I left him my email address. I even gave him my phone number, which I don't normally do. He declined to comment. The article in question was published on March 30th, 2021, but that's not the funny part. As I switched over to the article, one of their banners pops up, and it says, quote, "You're as obsessed with the facts as we are." I'm going to say Cowboy Estate Politics is a little bit more concerned with the facts than Wildfile, but you're going to find out about that here in just a second. The article's entitled, "Republicans Accuse Wyoming GOP of Election Fraud," and it was written by Nick Reynolds, formerly of the Red Star, Casper Star Tribune. Mr. Conrad said, quote, "It became apparent that the credibility and reputability of the Uinta County GOP was in trouble," he said in an interview. "I started recruiting a bunch of folks that had the same ideological view as I did, people who saw the party not in exclusive terms, but inclusive, including people and having a collaborative approach." In other words, frontier Republican types. The article goes on to say that, quote, "According to Conrad and a complaint filed jointly with the Wyoming Secretary of State and the Wyoming Attorney General's Office, the recently ousted county party leadership, backed by the Wyoming Republican Party, illegally allowed four members of the executive committee who had lost their precinct seats last August, including Allred and both Williamses, to vote in the county elections, giving the ousted incumbents an advantage against Conrad's insurgent regime. Simply put, Conrad alleged that the four people who were no longer eligible to vote served as the swing votes in their own re-election." Sounds pretty fishy to me, and I'm sure it's all totally factual, just like the rest of this article. Well, let me give you an example. Here's another piece of that article, just to prove that it's totally factual. Quote, "After winning re-election as Johnson County's state committee man in January, Bill Novotny, who voted against censuring Liz Cheney for her vote to impeach former President Donald Trump, was informed that by the state party that due to a procedural quirk, would not seat their delegation until the new election was held. Novotny, under pressure from his right flank at home, chose not to run again, clearing the way for former state representative Richard Tass to take his place. Novotny told Wildfile that Tass had run on his close allegiance to state Republican leadership." End quote. Yeah, that's not what happened at all. First, Richard Tass didn't have to run on his allegiance to the Republican Party. Yeah, all he had to do was he was going to show up to meetings, which is something Bill Novotny hardly ever did. And secondly, there was about 100 people in that room that really didn't want Bill Novotny to be the state committee man. So we can definitely question the veracity of Nick Reynolds' reporting, at least in this article. If you read Nick's article, there really isn't any mention of talking to Biffy Jackson, the new chairwoman of the Uinta County Republican Party. Now, if Wildfile was so interested in facts, maybe they ought to have done that. So again, here I am, doing the job of the liberal Wyoming mainstream media, if you can even call Wildfile mainstream, but I spoke with Biffy Jackson about this very matter. Here's our interview. The audio starts out a little choppy, but it clears up pretty quick for the rest of the interview. Biffy, welcome to Cowboy Estate Politics.
Thank you.
So the first thing I'd like to do is, why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll talk about what happened at the election.
Okay. My name is Biffy Jackson. I've been involved with the Uinta County Republican Party for almost 11 years now. It started back in the days of the fight for food freedom. My parents were heavily involved in that, and so I jumped on board and sort of caught the bug. I love debating. I love politics, and so it kind of just stuck. And I've been actively involved in the county party since then for 11 years now. And I was a precinct person for 6 of those years. And up until this last election, I was the vice chairman for the party for the past 4 years.
You've been pretty heavily involved for a while then.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I haven't. The only meeting that I've missed in those 10 years was when Evanston or Uinta County held the state convention. I think it's been 7 years ago now. And I missed that meeting because my daughter was born that weekend. So
I think you could get an absence excuse for that one.
Yeah, I get a pass on that one. But that's the only meeting I've missed.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. Across the state, there have been a lot of younger people that have started to get involved in Republican Party politics. So how old are you, Biffy?
I am 32. I know I don't look it, but I am.
We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, a totally self-aggrandizing, obscene profit timeout. Do you have a bunch of equipment and toys that are just littering your back pasture? Well, you know, you probably shouldn't leave them out in the weather, and you probably need a building to put them in. And if that's you, well, you should contact Jesse at Morton Buildings. They build high-quality, state-of-the-art buildings for just about any application. Quite frankly, if you can dream it up, Jesse can help you build it. And I mean, they handle everything from conception all the way to completion. They're an amazing company, and you get what you pay for. A lot of the buildings that you've probably seen in your home county have been built by Morton Buildings, and you don't even know it. So contact Jesse at 674-2532, and he'll get the process started for you. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed with Morton Buildings. Or you can check them out on the website at mortonbuildings.com. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps. iHeartRadio, iTunes, Pandora, really any of them will work. But the easiest way is just to go to the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. There you can find all of the shows as well as any of the articles that I might bring up during the course of a program. If your name is Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, then you can pull up an article and educate yourself, just like he should have been doing these last 40 years, but didn't. Don't miss our special Wednesday free speech episode with Dr. Taylor Haynes. It's an explosive interview that you definitely don't want to miss. But for now, back to our program. Well, I think it's super important that younger people get involved. And I mean, we're seeing that even in my county of Johnson County. So I think that's a good thing. Let's hit the nail on the head, Biffy. Why don't you tell us what happened at the Uinta County elections?
It was a very standard election process. I mean, it's the same process that we've done for at least as long as I've been involved. And I know it's done that way before that also. We held the meeting. We gave every... we actually went above and beyond. We followed the bylaws by the book. Every precinct voting member had a member card. They were all color coded. The ballots were all color coded. We had, we're required by bylaws to have a teller committee of two people from the body. We had three. We took nominations, gave us the count that was certified by all three of them. And the elections were announced there at the meeting. It was very standard by the bylaws situation. And now there is this complaint that we did it wrong.
Did you do it wrong?
No, we did not do it wrong. We followed the bylaws exactly. We knew that there was going to be a little bit of pushback from a couple of folks in our county. And so before we held the elections, we made sure that we got in contact with our state party leadership. We made sure that everything we were doing was by the book. We talked to our chairman, Frank Ethorn. We talked to our state council, Brian Shuck. We talked to our state parliamentarian, Tom Reeder. And they said we were all good to go. So,
okay,
so the state... We did it right.
And now it's a big deal.
Yes.
Well, according to the article, that there were four votes. They're claiming there are four votes that were illegitimate. Now, would those four votes have made any difference in the outcome of the election?
Yeah, our election results were, it was really, really close. My seat in particular, I won 21-19. And so it was definitely a close vote, but they're saying that the party officers that were not also precinct people should not have been voting.
Ah, okay.
And so I was one of those officers. I am not currently a precinct person. But according to our bylaws, you do not have to be a precinct person in order to be an officer within the party. And officers are members of the County Central Committee.
Yeah, I was just going to say, according to the bylaws, and even our county bylaws says that if you're an officer and member of the Central Committee, then you have voting privileges.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you foresee the outcome of this challenge to be?
As I've been in contact with Frank from the state party, and he said that we did everything that we were supposed to do, so I don't foresee there being any issues there. I haven't officially got a response from Ed Buchanan yet, but that should be coming hopefully soon with their decision on that. But as far as I'm concerned, we did everything that we were supposed to do. We followed the bylaws. We were well within our rights to vote, and everything is totally legitimate and above board. And so I don't foresee there anything coming out of it.
Yeah, well, it sounds like everything was above board. Okay, well, enough of that. So let's talk about what you want to do with your county party now. Is there any changes you want to make, or what's the direction that you want to take you into county?
As far as changes, I don't really want to change anything. We've had a really strong conservative voice at the state with Lyle Williams and as our previous chairman, who's also my father. And Jana Williams has been our state committee woman, and Carl Allred is our state committee man. And so me and my dad are sort of just swapping places. And so I just plan to continue that strong conservative voice at the state level. I'm planning on focusing a little bit more of my attention onto the county. Uintah County has always had a hard time with funding and getting our dues to the state paid and that sort of thing. And so fundraising is going to be a big focus. And I've got some plans to try and get more people involved. We've had an issue with nobody showing up for our meetings. And I don't know if that's because they're not interested or if we're just not getting the word out. And so I'm planning to try and up our numbers a little bit.
Well, I understand that. In Johnson County, we have a county party that historically has not really been that active in the county. And you know, if you don't have a party that's doing stuff and holding fundraisers, it's really hard to get people interested. And that's one of the hurdles that we're working on here in Johnson County. So I imagine it's very much the same situation in Uintah County.
Yeah, we've actually had, since this whole Liz Cheney situation, we've had a sort of an uprising of people that want to get involved, and they're angry and they don't know what to do, but they want to do something. And so even at our election meeting, we had all of our precinct people there and all of our officers, but we had almost probably 40 to 50 people in the audience, which is we had to move to a bigger room, actually, which has never happened before.
That's great.
So it's very promising, and I'm hoping to keep them coming.
Excellent. So yeah. Are there any fundraising efforts that you have coming up that you'd like to mention, or are we still kind of in the planning stages?
We're sort of still in the planning stages. The county has put in a bid to host the July State Central Committee meeting. And we'll find out about that at the May meeting in Park County, if we get that or not. That's sort of our first push. But I've formed a committee, a fundraising committee, and so I'm hoping that we can get some things going this summer, especially.
Excellent.
And get a new page.
I mean, as far as the state dues go, Johnson County is in the exact same boat. But there's efforts that are underway here to you know, step up involvement and to work on fundraising. And you know, it's hard to do stuff if you don't have any cash on hand.
Yeah, you got to start small and work up.
Before I let you go, Biffy, are there any events coming up in Uintah County that you would like to make your citizens aware of?
Our next county meeting is going to be on April 13th, which is a Tuesday. It will be at 7 o'clock at the Lyman Town Hall in Bridger Valley. And we will be addressing all of this and hopefully putting it to rest at that meeting. So if you're interested, come join us.
Okay. Well, how do people get in touch with you if they don't know already?
You can email me. My email is Elizabeth Jackson, spelled with an S, ELISABETH, at hotmail.com. Or you can give me a call. My number is 307-679-7766. If you got any questions, concerns, comments, you want more information about this sort of thing, give me a call. I'm willing to talk to anyone.
Great. If people are just interested in getting involved in your county party, do you guys have a website?
We don't have a website. We have a Facebook page. And it's just Uintah County Republicans.
I appreciate your time. I wish you luck in your new position.
Thank you.
All right. Have a good day, Biffy.
You too.
Since Wildfile is so obsessed with facts, kind of makes you wonder why they didn't talk to Miss Jackson, doesn't it? Well, the answer is they're not really obsessed with facts. They're more obsessed with liberal advocacy, which is what this whole thing is all about. The Frontier Republicans, like Mr. John Conrad, are all about the tax and spend and take away your liberty, Wyoming red-coated Republican establishment. And they really don't like true conservatives, which is why Mr. Conrad sought out Wildfile and why he declined to talk to Cowboy State Politics and why Wildfile did not include all of the facts in any of their reporting. So that's that. And now for an update on the lawsuit filed against Governor Mark Gordon, we spoke with Nick Badoon briefly. Our conversation took place last Thursday, so all of the filings that he's going to mention during the interview, they've already taken place.
Hey, thanks for having me on, David. And thanks for allowing me the opportunity to provide an update. This will also be posted on our website, freewyoming23.com. But here's what's going on. On the 20th day of the Attorney General's timeline to respond to the petition, they did respond to us. And as I indicated last time on the podcast, they did file a motion to dismiss, as we were expecting. Since that point in time, there's been a few other documents that have been filed. Those are also on the website. But as of today, on April 1st, as of today, we will be filing a reply and brief to the Attorney General's motion to dismiss. There's also going to be a motion to dismiss all county attorneys in the attempt to hold the Attorney General in contempt.
Now, hold on. Why would you dismiss all the county attorneys, Nick?
Okay, so what occurred after the Attorney General's office refused to accept service, which I believe was, what's the date? They called me the Monday after we filed, so I do have it in the motion, but he refused to accept service on behalf of the county health officers. And I think the Wyoming statute is very clear that he was supposed to accept service on behalf of the county health officers. So we in turn to make sure we had a safety net just in case there was any questions, we proceeded to serve all 23 county attorneys across the state, incurring significant costs to our legal fund. And we don't believe that's proper. We're not asking for the county health officers to be dismissed, just the county attorneys. So we are only dealing with, as we should be, with the Attorney General's office.
Okay.
And if you look at Wyoming Statute 65306, it talks about refusal of service. And really it's talking about in regards to subpoenas, but there's a case from 1901 that talks about refusing summons as well. There's two options to go there for the court to consider. One is charging a misdemeanor crime of up to 6 months in jail and $750, but there's also another more civil remedy, which is requesting contempt. So we will be requesting that contempt, hopefully recoup some of our costs. And then those documents will be filed today. The court did confirm a hearing as of yesterday for April 7th, which will start at 9 a.m. here in Johnson County and is supposed to last till 12:30. The situation that we have is we're responding to at this point, 20 counties and county attorneys, and I think we should only be dealing with the Attorney General's office.
Okay, makes sense. So I've heard some talk how some counties are being excused from your lawsuit. Is there any truth to that?
There is truth to that. There are three counties that we have outright dismissed from the case. Those are Niobrara County, Goshen County, and Weston County. If I could start with both Niobrara and Goshen County, both of those counties have very low metrics in regards to what COVID cases are actually occurring as well as deaths. But the other thing that those county health officers, and I can include Weston County, who no longer has a county health officer because they fired him back in December. But what these three counties have done have sought variances, not for specific people, but for everyone in their county, seeking the least restrictive means under the state health orders that they could. These counties really stepped up to the plate, and for especially their constituents in their counties. I will say that some of them may or may not testify down the road when we get to the injunction hearing, but although all three of those counties, their county attorneys actually reached out to me. We had strong, thoughtful conversations and agreements as to why they should be dismissed.
Okay. Well, that seems fair. I mean, if a county did whatever they could do to not trample on the rights of their citizens, well, then they ought to be dismissed from this lawsuit. One more question I had for you, Nick, is a while back, we aired an episode called Fact Checks, Contempt of Court Fines, and Guys Who Like Numbers, where we talked to a lady named April Hansen, who was held in contempt of court for refusing to wear a mask when she reported for jury duty. Can you give us an update on that case?
I certainly can. I think it's around the same time that she made it to your podcast. I believe she reached out to us, and the team that I'm working with are looking at our circumstances and our legal fund in a bigger group than just challenging the governor's original emergency health order. And we agreed that this is the type of case that we should also take on in a pro bono fashion. So what else will be filed either today or tomorrow is we agreed to represent Ms. Hansen, and we're going to ask the court to reconsider or at least set aside the original contempt order. So we are also working with Ms. Hansen. We're trying to not get greatly involved, but you know, when cases like this come about, especially with Ms. Hansen, who is a single mom of two boys, we got to step up to the plate and help out. And I wish other folks would do the same.
Well, I think that that's great that you're representing her pro bono, because I think it's completely unjust what Judge Fenn did to her. And, you know, if you read the transcript, she was absolutely courteous through that whole thing. And I'll go ahead and post that transcript on cowboystatepolitics.com so everybody can read it. So is there anything else we need to discuss, Nick?
You know, there's one thing I would like to say about Judge Fenn. He's been a mentor of mine when I, in my younger days of practice. I've actually had some pretty significant civil and criminal cases in front of him. And I mean him no undue or disrespect by doing this. I just want to have him look at some of the other facts and circumstances that maybe we can have him view this in a different light, especially looking at how the governor has lifted the health mask mandates, which happened shortly after we filed our petition, coincidentally.
What a big coincidence. Does that have any effect on the lawsuit, Nick?
None whatsoever. A lot of people thought at the beginning of this that we were upset about bars being closed down at 10 or, you know, the statewide health mask mandate or any of those things. But if people really read the petition, again, that's online at our website, freewyoming23.com. What we are arguing is that the original state health emergency order that he filed back or ordered back in March of 2020, that's what we're challenging. So thereafter, all the state health orders that came from the Department of Health, Dr. Harris, would be null and void. So we're going all the way back to the beginning.
Okay. All right. Well, Nick, I appreciate you taking the time to give us an update and make sure you keep us in the loop as to what's going on with your lawsuit.
It'd be my pleasure to.
All right. Have a good day and good luck.
All right. Thanks for having me on, David.
We'll continue to keep you updated with all the happenings concerning this lawsuit at Cowboy State Politics. As I mentioned, there's a couple documents that Nick was talking about that we'll post on the website, cowboyestatepolitics.com, underneath the show content tab. Well, as Rush would say, that pretty much wraps up our busy broadcast week. Next week, of course, on Monday, we have Morning Reload, and then on Wednesday, our special episode on free speech in the great state of Wyoming, with Dr. Taylor Haynes. He tells it like it is, and there's no one that can persuade him to do otherwise. So definitely don't miss that episode. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.